Howdy, y'all. Welcome to Components Live. I'm Ren, product marketer at Heretto and your podcast MC.
I'm Patrick, CEO here at Heretto.
And I'm Jared, lead solutions consultant.
Thanks for joining us on our weekly conversation about componentized and structured content. Hope you enjoy this 15 or so minutes of fun talking about everything from data to innovations in AI.
Glad you're catching our live show after it was live and is now a podcast. If you want to join the live show, we stream every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern on LinkedIn and YouTube, but you can always find the recording on your favorite podcast app. All right, let's get into it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Components Live. This is your Friday content rundown to wind down the work week. So let's get right into it. Patrick and Casey have lots to talk about this week.
Yep. Really happy to be here. Thank you, Ren. Good to see you guys. And I'm looking forward to a fun little conversation before we jump into the weekend. So today we have one article. I want to ask Casey some things about what he's been doing this week, because this has been a very demo heavy week for him on something which is a hot topic. And then I think you've got some stuff to that's just fun to wrap us up with. Right, Ren?
Yeah, we're going to have some fun at the end of this one.
All right, sounds good. All right, so the article I wanted to start with here is actually a podcast. It's another podcast. We're not going to listen to it, but we'll talk a little bit about what was in it. So it's one of Cherry Leaf's podcasts. And for those of you who don't know what Cherry Leaf is, Cherry Leaf is they're an organization in the space that they do some staffing for technical writing, things like that. They do other structured content stuff. And they've been around for a long time. They produce good content. So they're in my feedly. They're one of the people that I try to keep an eye on. They had a podcast that was talking about the current demand for technical writers. And this was really based on the UK market. But, you know, we would think that it would probably be somewhat representational of the global market, because the UK is, you know, a pretty diversified services-based economy. So you could probably pretty comfortably extrapolate that UK market's going to look like the US market. The interesting part about this is that recently there's been a huge uptick in openings for specifically contract technical writers and other forms of like technical writers in the UK market, which I thought was really interesting, because Casey, you were saying earlier today that as you've been going through and you've been trying to get people a little more aware of Edo, which is our AI co-pilot, one of the responses that you've had from people seems to be the exact opposite.
Yeah, I think when people see Edo, there's that sense of, wow, this is amazing, but also like the pace of what these co-pilots are able to do is a little bit frightening, because it's taking over some of the things that people do in their day-to-day basis. And I think that those conversations have been interesting, because I think one of the things that everybody doesn't realize about this is that we all have more work than we could possibly get done, especially as writers. The amount of content that organizations want us to create as writers or people in information development is expanding dramatically for a whole bunch of different reasons. And I really believe that we're going to see a significant increase in the need for people who are writers, and especially the need for people who are writers that have experience in structured data formats, which are, you know, really good for feeding into AIs and stuff like that. So that podcast is really cool. That's kind of confirming that a little bit, maybe one data point.
Well, so there's another aspect of this that I think plays into that really nicely, which is the number one skill requirement from the site he was auditing for technical authors or writers was XML. And there was other stuff on the list. Actually, SGML, I think, made like five or six.
That's from the past.
Yeah. So like, I mean, maybe that tells you something about the UK. I don't know. That's down the list. But the number one is XML, which kind of supports that general thesis that it's not a lack of things to do at this point in time. And the things to do are all, or a lot of it is coming in the structured side of things.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's so many high level, super valuable things that people who have that type of knowledge and creating structured content can be doing, especially once a lot of the things that are super time consuming, but maybe repetitive, are just taken off their plate. And so it seems like we're going in a direction where hopefully writers will be a lot happier with what they're doing, because they're going to be doing higher value work. And they're also gonna be happier because management's gonna be like, "Wow, you're getting all this cool stuff done that we couldn't do before because we just didn't have time." That would be a dream come true. I think that would be awesome.
And this actually reflects a thing that I've been hearing. So I've every about once a year, I like to go and talk to as many of our customers as possible. So you know, I go out and I try to get them to come and talk to me for a few minutes. And one of the themes I've seen this year is a lot more like very senior level focus on content, content strategy, content lifecycle, content experience. And it's actually to the point where I was having a conversation earlier today with one of our customers, and they were saying, this has a direct line to revenue that's like counted in the millions. And it has to do with their, like, they literally said that support and service was their bottleneck for new business. Now, I haven't gotten that data point that many times, but like things more directionally in that range are becoming much more common. So there seems to be a lot more awareness at the executive level that this is the direction of customer experience. Like information experience is customer experience, or it's a major portion of it. So if you value that, you're going to hire more people to do that.
For sure. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't know any company that thinks their documentation is complete. And
not even us.
I mean, you know, there's always someone you looking for an answer and it doesn't exist yet. And that's an opportunity for a happier customer.
Yeah, it's funny because like when the experience that you've had as you've been going and like trying to show people how to leverage Edo, how to incorporate it, how to think about it, those kinds of things. When I was at Convex and I was trying to do that same thing for people, I got a little bit of that response like, oh, hey, like, is this replacing us? It's not replacing you. We can go into the reasons why AI isn't actually smart. Maybe that's another episode. I think we've probably already done that. But as soon as you go, okay, how many of you can work a 40-hour week and get your work done? Like nobody's hand goes up. And the conversation is just kind of over to like, oh yeah, right. I would like my nights and weekends back. So I think that we have the ability, some of these new tools, to finally do that. Like we can actually scratch most of the IX itch. Like we can actually do what we need, and we can stop working weekends. We can stop working nights. We can stop like always trying to just get more out of these people.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how much of a correlation there is between, so like Jared mentioned this earlier this week, and I've seen it too in a lot of our recent demos with new customers, people who are interested in Heretto. We're seeing people coming to us because they're realizing they're not going to be able to adopt AI or get into the AI game until they have structured content. And so I feel like companies are starting to realize that, and so they're probably hiring more tech writers to get into structured content because they recognize they need to do it quickly.
Yeah, I think we have also seen that. So like I've gotten to interact with some of them. I don't get to interact with a lot of, you know, like pre-customer stuff. I get to tend to be more on the customer side, but I do think it kind of generally falls into one of two categories. It's people that have something that's not structured, and they've like run into a barrier and they're like, oh no, let's fix this quickly. And then it's the people who are looking down the road and they're saying, okay, I think we believe that we'll be in a better place with structure, or at the very least they're hedging, because the reality is that you'll never be in a worse place with structure. So even if you invest a little bit in it now and you're like, okay, well, you know, maybe it's only as good, it's a hedge. And I think we see a little bit of both of those two things. And that's kind of where that comes from. Casey, are you doing pre-customer stuff? Are you doing things with people who are considering adopting, or are you mostly just with customers right now?
Mostly with customers. Some here and there with prospects, but Jared's mainly doing those. But, you know, it's your last comment's interesting because from time to time, there'll be some machine learning experts that jump on these calls from the organization. And usually they're not directly connected to the particular project. Someone's just like, hey, can you join this? I want your opinion. And when you start explaining how structured content works and how it brings all the metadata and knowledge graphs and everything together, they just get it like immediately. And the conversation changes a lot because now you have someone who has deep understanding of machine learning and how they're trying to build out these tools and systems go, wow, okay, so that makes our job a lot easier. It's kind of like building the bridge from the other side. One side's working on technology, the other side's working on the content that the technology will consume. And I don't think we'll be at a point for a long time where that bridge can just be built from one end. You got to build it from both sides. So that's really cool to see, is when those people, their eyes light up.
Yeah, that is a lot of fun. All right, so we got a few minutes left. We're going to try something a little bit new. It's a slight take on our hot topic. So we're going to do hot topic, hot take. And
Casey has not seen this yet. He doesn't know it's coming. So, and every week we're going to try and find different things to like different hot takes. And rather than explain them, I'm just going to throw them, lob them at the guys and see how they feel about it so we can get some raw reactions. Mm-hmm. But my first one is one that I had to fight Patrick on to get onto the show. And I usually do because we have very differing opinions on this one. But the TikTok ban is looming. It's coming more than likely. So how do y'all feel about that?
I'll let Casey go first.
I shouldn't take any bets on these types of things because I'll be the person to be like, oh, that'll never happen. And then it will actually happen. I think it sets a bad precedence, but if I couldn't use TikTok, it probably wouldn't interrupt my life all that much. So, you know, I don't like the precedent, but.
I tend to think that it's probably a good thing, all things considered. I'm not going to disagree on the precedent. I think that there's a challenge there. But I think we also have to acknowledge that, like, China is a geopolitical adversary at this point in time, like even if we are like very highly connected and they don't have our best intentions and, you know, communicate, and TikTok is a way that they can communicate directly with our public in a really distorted way. And I think that's really dangerous, especially with some of the, like, you know, wherever you fall on the political spectrum, like, I think that's really challenging. So I don't know. This is getting out of my realm of expertise, but I tend to think that it's probably, if they're going into like this, the skiff, and they have bipartisan people coming out going, we got to ban this thing. Like, I tend to think that the politicians probably saw something in there that scared them enough that they're willing to go and actually do their jobs. So
it is one of the, I mean, it is one of the first, the first initiatives that have come out that like an overwhelming majority of each branch has said we're in for this. Like, there hasn't been this much bipartisan agreement in a very long time. So it's interesting to see how this is
killing our US-based social media companies, though.
No, and like, there are so many nuances into this. Like, I think we could get into a lot of conspiracies really easily with that one. But yeah. I just wanted to throw that in. on right. Another scary front.
Next.
Vasa. Yeah. This is another one that can be really scary. Vasa. Yeah.
Casey, you got to explain what it is. You got to explain what it is. You have to start by explaining what it is.
Yeah. So Vasa is a new AI capability from Microsoft where you can upload a still image and an audio file, and it will create a video of that still image speaking. And it's pretty realistic. I mean, I've seen some deepfakes that are better, but this is pretty impressive.
I couldn't distinguish it from a real person, which is kind of crazy.
I could.
Yeah.
I was looking at my phone, so maybe if I wasn't looking at my phone, but
okay, on mobile, yeah, that might be fair. But like on a laptop, like the lips aren't quite right. Like, that's It's really close. It's freaky close.
Give it 6 months type of thing.
Yeah, for this being the first one, it's wild how well it does. But like, I can tell. But in 6 months, I would be a little concerned about how that shakes out. In fact, I was just talking to our VP of marketing, and there are now companies popping up that are created to identify AI and call it out when it happens. So that way we can be more protected on the internet. So we're already getting the counter to that.
So, you know, pulling it back to like content as it stands for in the technical sense, like there is an application for this. And I think it's a really interesting and like fraught application, but it's funny because you go back quite a ways and Casey and I actually implemented a system like this for one of our customers a long time ago. And back then, like it was an avatar that talked and things like that, but it wasn't meant to be a deep fake or like a real representation of a person. And I remember when we implemented it, I thought, why do you need this? Can't you just do the audio or something like that? But there is something about having even like an image of a person or like a video or like an animation that somehow builds trust with people, which I guess is an opportunity. I think there's obviously a lot of risk there. And I think the thing that I still feel is going to be true, even with these new systems, is that a lot of people are going to think you can just stuff content into them and it'll go. And I'm not sure I think that's true. I think that if our organizations are going to start looking at some of these like very like off the beaten path, multimodal delivery mechanisms, that they're going to have to be ready to route the content slightly differently to get the results they're looking for. So I do think that this still comes back to like having really strong control over your content and like the directions that your content flows. All of that said, I don't know if we should be implementing these things at all.
It's super interesting. I mean, like, I don't, you know, from a customer experience standpoint, like, it feels uncomfortable that like, even if one of these talking heads was solving my problem and like, it was so good, I couldn't tell that it was not a real person. Like, it's still uncomfortable that I don't know if I'm talking to a real person. Like, it does build trust in a sense, but it also like this widespread sense of untrust of anybody that you're not actually sitting in front of in person. Right. And that's just wild to think about.
Yeah. Pure paranoia. Although you did just give me an idea. I need Microsoft to do the talking heads singing the talking heads, but in full AI now.
I feel like you could make that happen. Also, if I don't feel like doing this show, you could just go and like, you could just write a script for me and you could, you know, you could have me on here every week. And I could say whatever it is that you need me to say.
Oh, that could be dangerous.
Yeah. So there's an application.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was our last hot topic, hot take for the week.
Yep, it was. That was our last one for the week. We'll definitely have some more next week and we'll probably do a more rapid fire.
I like it.
Sounds good. Cool.
Sweet. Awesome. Right, well, thank you all for joining us this week. And we will have this live. You can listen to it on the podcast or on anywhere where you stream your podcast. We'll upload this as soon as we're done. So it'll be up this afternoon and you can have a great weekend listening to the rest of Components. All right. Bye, y'all.